material world. And some people say he doesn't come, but actually the Lord does. Not only does he come, but he comes with a particular mission. And Krishna explains his mission in the Bhagavad Gita. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata bhutanam adharmasya tadatmaham srijamyaham vitranayam sarunam vinasanaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanartayam sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord's desire is to see that religious principles remain prominent in human society. And religious principles are the foundation for wherein the living entity can fulfill their goal of life and at the same time remain happy in this material world. Religious principles are the foundation, or what we say, the support of all success in one's life. Because the living entity is not a material being. A living entity is a spiritual being. We speak of material, we speak of things that are separate. The living entity is the supreme, what we say, part and particle of the unlimited supreme personality of Godhead. And somehow or other, the living entity has come to this material world in order to find some kind of happiness separate from the Lord. But the Lord doesn't forget his living beings in this material world. And so he sends himself, he comes himself, he sends his representatives, he sends the scriptures, he sends various types of, what we say, ways in order for us to somehow reawaken our natural loving propensity for God. To love God is natural. To forget about that relationship means to be an illusion and to somehow or other experience suffering. Suffering, the basic principle of all suffering is ignorance. And the basic principle of ignorance is forgetfulness of God. From that principle, all other, what we say, problems arrive. As soon as we remember God, and in that remembrance try to mold our life in such a way as to follow the laws of God, then we actually become happy, progressive, we can fulfill our needs in life and at the same time return to God at the end of life. So God tries to keep a certain standard of religious principles in human society. And when those principles go down, and when they really go down, he comes. So he came throughout the history of mankind many times. But he came in a very, very wonderful form known as Sri Ram. Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. Or we also might say Ram, Lakshman, Bhart, and Shatrughna. These are four aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who are incarnated in order to reestablish religious principles in the world, to remove the world from irreligion by removing those persons who are irreligious, and at the same time give pleasure and give enlivenment to those who are in loving devotion to the Lord. The Lord comes for these three reasons. So approximately 2 million years ago, the appearance of Lord Ram came upon this earth in order to, again, reestablish religious principles. We see in today's society that somehow or other people somehow think that through various forms of sense gratification and various forms of arrangements of the material energy, one can find happiness. But this is not possible, and that's why everyone is not happy. Because if you do the wrong thing, you can't expect to get the right result. It's not possible. So the Lord comes in order to teach us how to really become happy. And that is devotion to Him. So He came in this wonderful form
as a king.
The Lord came as a king. And he ruled the citizens for many, many thousands of years. And he established such a saintly rule within society that everyone was happy, prosperous, and was able to get whatever they needed in order to live in this world. And was provided by Sri Ram. People talk today, we really would like to have Ram Raj once again, right? But what we have is Ravana Raj, right? Ravana is the opposite. Ravana was a powerful demon who existed at the time of Ram and was killed by Ram. Ravana means one who makes everybody cry. That's the name Ravana, what it actually means. He was a powerful demon. He had usurped a large place within this material world, and he was harassing everyone. Ram came and killed him and established the perfect rule. Now, in establishing the perfect rule, he was the ideal king. That is, his character was completely impeccable. He had all good qualities. He was kind. He was magnanimous. He was generous. As a person, he exhibited not only great power and great intelligence and fortitude and so many qualities for doing things, but he was also very humble, also very tolerant, also very, what we say, concerned about every living being within the kingdom. And therefore, no one could find any fault in his character. His character was impeccable. He was the ideal personality in all respects. He was the Supreme Lord himself, but he was showing by his example what it means to rule the world. That those who are in a leadership position have to be beyond reproach. There should be no criticism, or as they say, no black spots on the white cloth. Because if there's some incongruency, some opportunity for criticism, this destroys the faith of the leaders. And today we see nobody has any faith in the leaders, right? Especially today. But still, somehow or other, people go on, hoping that things will get better. But it's not a matter of somehow or other picking the perfect leader. It's actually seeing what it means to become a perfect leader. And Ram showed that. Ram showed that in such a way that everything he done was for the prosperity of the citizens. We know the story, those of you who are familiar with the story of Ram. I mean, in 25 minutes, I cannot even begin to tell that story. Because it's such a long story. It takes about 2 weeks to tell the story. I'm serious, that's not. And to give it a synopsis takes about 5 hours, minimum. But I'll begin to explain a little bit. And that is that the goddess of fortune descended with the Supreme Personality of God, and her name was Sita. And Sita was the ideal chaste wife. When Ram was asked to leave the kingdom and go to the forest for 14 years as some type of punishment, Mother Sita, who was born of a royal family and had all good qualities and never knew anything about hardships in her life, she followed her husband. She left her very comfortable position in the kingdom of Ayodhya to join Ram within the forest. And Ram, just before she came and to go with him, he said to her, "You cannot go to the forest. It is cold, it is dark, it is full of man-eating rakshasa, demoniac principles, forces. What will you eat? How will you live? There's nothing in it. It's cold at night, it's hot during the day, there's no conveniences or conveyances." And you know what she said? She said, and she was accustomed to luxurious palaces with nice, beautiful arrangements and fine food and a gorgeous dress and so many amenities. She said, Ayodhya, without you, Ayodhya is the forest, and with you, the forest is Ayodhya. That was her love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She could not and even consider being separated from Ram, even for a second. So Ram took her to the forest. And when he did, he had so many problems. Because it says, never take your wife into the forest. It's just not the place for ladies. Especially those forests in those days. And therefore, there were so many attacks upon Sita. And one very powerful demon, whose name was Ravana, who became attracted to her, somehow or other subdued her away from Ram. And then we know the story. There was a tremendous war between Ram and the forces of the Vanaras, which were the monkey army, who were actually demigods, who had taken birth in the Vanara race, or the race of monkeys, and joined Ram in the fight against Ravana and all his demoniac forces. Now Ravana had a benediction that he could not be killed by any force. He performed so many austerities and penances and vratas when he was young. Lord Brahma, the king of the universe, appeared to him and said, Ravana, what do you want? He said, I want to become immortal. Brahma said, I can't give you that because I'm not immortal. I can't give you what I don't have. He said, all right, give me freedom from death by the demigods, by so many. Human beings, oh God, don't even bother me with that. Human beings are so puny. How can I even consider fighting with me? What to speak of even winning? I used the example this morning. It's like Muhammad Ali fighting with a 5-year-old kid. What's the chance of a 5-year-old kid? So he was thinking, it's an insult to have that benediction of not being killed by human beings. But they say, those who want to trick the Lord will trick them. Some people think, I have made the perfect plan in life, right? But your perfect plan is always given to you by the Lord with a certain flaw in it, which you don't see. And that flaw defeats your plan. Interesting. That's why no one can see to cheat the Lord in any way, because the Lord gives you the intelligence to make the perfect plan that somehow you try to fulfill your desire separately. But in that perfect plan, the Lord gives you the pinprick that makes the whole plan useless. That's his intelligence. And so, Ravana never took that benediction. And so there was a huge fight. We all know that fight. It's a tremendous fight. The story between Ram and Ravana. It's an exciting war. Those of you who like to go to the movies and watch adventure, romance, and intrigue, and so many interesting things. Now in the movies they have what they call special effects, right? One devotee, he went to the movies not long ago. And we asked him, what was the movie about? He said, I don't know, but the effects were great. It's like the whole thing is all special effects, right? It's the whole thing. So, but in the story between Ram and Ravana is a lot of excitement. And it's all based on the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So those of you who are looking for some type of adventure, in this mundane world of literature and romance and war and intrigue, which simply somehow or other creates dissatisfaction within the heart and mind once one has left that arena, find that same adventure, intrigue, romance, love, excitement in the pastimes of the Lord. And that will elevate your consciousness to the spiritual platform. That will bring your heart and mind to a place where you can find satisfaction and actually fulfill your relationship with the Lord. So these wonderful stories actually bring about transcendental consciousness. And the story is, it was a beautiful fight. And Ravana, was putting out all his forces, and one after another he was being killed. Why was Ravana being attacked by Ram? Because he had stole Sita, the goddess of fortune. What was Ravana? Ravana was the incarnation of lust. He was so lusty. He had so many beautiful wives. Not only beautiful wives, his prominent wife was Mandodari. She was the most beautiful and chaste and faithful and highly qualified. But Ravana wasn't satisfied. And this is a very important principle, that the principle of lust is like fire that can never stop burning. People think, oh, I can fulfill my desires and then I'll be satisfied. But fulfilling one's lusty desires means you have a fire and you throw a log on it. And what happens? The fire goes down, right? For some time. And throwing the log on is fulfilling the desire. But then what happens when the log starts to catch? The fire burns even stronger. So one cannot fulfill lusty desires. They just burn and burn and create more and more anxiety and dissatisfaction. So Ravana was like that. He had everything in this world. He had intelligence. He was a scholar of the Vedas. He had good looks. He was very handsome. He had abilities. He had power. He had wealth. But he had one problem. He was so lusty. And he could not fulfill his lust. So he captured the goddess of fortune. But she refused to acquiesce to his desires. And he told her that if you don't surrender to me within 1 year, and he's a man-eating rakshasa, he said, I will chop you up and have you for breakfast. Because he was cursed. He could not forcibly take Sita by... He could not take Sita by force. Because he did that with one other woman one time. And he was cursed that if he ever did that again, he would die. So he wasn't sure if the curse was going to work or not. So he decided not to take a chance. So he had Sita captured in the Ashoka Grove. And she was there. And she refused to acquiesce. She said, I have given my life to Ram and no other man. In fact, her, what we say, chastity and faithfulness for Ram was so strong that she never forgot Ram for a second. Not even a second. She could not forget Ram. That was her love. When she was there, Hanuman somehow or other came as an emissary to find out where she was and to somehow bring her back. He found her and he said, please, climb on my back. I will take you back to Ram. She said, I'm sorry, Hanumanji. I cannot touch another man. But if Ram comes and save me, then that will be the success. So he appreciated that. He went back and told Ram. And then Ram came with the whole army. And that's the wonderful story. But she remained chaste and faithful during that whole ordeal, despite the fact that she was being threatened by death. But finally Ram came, and it was a tremendous fight. And Ravana, he had the benediction when he was first born that he would have 10 heads. And there was the trend during the fight. Ram was shooting arrows. He was cutting off the heads of Ram one after another. But his power was, he had such mystic power that every time his head would fall, another head would grow back. And he was becoming frustrated. He couldn't kill this monstrous demon. And Ravana was powerful. So finally, Vibhishan, who was the brother of Ram, he said, yeah, a brother of Ravana, sorry. Thank you. You're all good scholars. Thank you. The brother of Ravana, he said, you have to hit him in the heart because that's where he has an unlimited ocean of nectar in his heart. And so that generates his life. And as soon as you kill that ocean of nectar, then you can kill him. So Ram took out a special arrow. Ram was firing arrows, but this was a special arrow. It was given to him by Agastya Muni. This was a powerful arrow. When Ram put that arrow to the bow, and pulled it back, the whole universe shook. It was powerful. And everything stopped. The whole universe stopped to watch what was happening. And he pulled that arrow back, and when he hit, shoom, and he hit Ravana right in the heart. And Ravana just went, that arrow went right through Ravana, went around the world, and came back into the quiver of Ram. That was Ram's power. Jai Sri Ram. These are not fairy tales. These are true stories of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They happened 2 million years ago. And after Ram was dead, everyone was happy. And then Sita came back. But then, when Sita was there, Ram said, "You know, you are with another man. So why should I take you back? Why should I take you back?" And she was devastated. She didn't know what to say. She had never, even for a second, deviated from her mind, for a second, the lotus feet of Sri Ram. And he said, "You were with Ravana, and he touched you. Therefore, you're unchaste. And therefore, my principle is that you are no longer worthy to become my wife. So you can go wherever you want to go." He told her that. She was devastated. And then she said, "Lakshman." She called Lakshman. She said, "Lakshman, build a funeral pyre. I will enter into the fire." They're having a special pastime out there, aren't they? So Lakshman built this huge funeral pyre, and he lit the fire, and Ram remained unmoved. His mind was fixed. And Sita, she paid her obeisances, and she walked into the fire. And after a few moments, the most amazing thing happened. The fire went down, and the fire god, Agni, came out carrying Mother Sita. Because of her purity and because of her chastity, she was untouched by the fire. And then Ram accepted her back. And then they went back to the kingdom. And they lived, and they ruled a citizen. But one day, see, Ram was an ideal king. He used to travel throughout the kingdom just to listen to what the citizens were saying about him. He would come in disguise just to hear the words of the citizens, to see what they were saying about their ruler. So one day he heard this one man talking to his wife. He said, "You know, where were you last night? You were gone all night. I don't know where you were. You know, you could have been staying at a house of another man. Therefore, because you were out all night and you won't tell me where you went, therefore I reject you. I am not like Ram. His wife Sita was away for so long and he took her back. I am not like that." And Ram heard all that. Oh, when he heard all that, he became concerned. Some blemish on his character. So what he did is he called Lakshman. He said, "Lakshman, I think Sita needs a vacation. It's a good time. Why don't you take her to the hermitage of Valmiki Muni and let her stay there for some time?" But actually, Lakshman understood that he was taking her there not simply to go on vacation, but to keep her there. In other words, Ram wanted to keep his impeccable character as the ideal king. This is a very important principle. Although it broke his heart to ban Sita away, at the same time it broke her heart to be separate from Sita. The love between the Lord and his devotees is very deep. In fact, that is the essence of life. When we understand how much God loves us and how much we have somehow or other turned our face away from God and looking for that love in other places, when we understand really the true principle of that loving relationship between ourselves and the Lord, we will become somewhat embarrassed and overwhelmed with emotion. The Lord loves his devotees so much. And the Lord always wants to see his devotee happy. And the devotee always wants to somehow or other please the Lord. That is the loving relationship between the Lord and his devotee. And you can imagine what it was between Sita and Ram, how deep that love was. But still, the Lord came for a mission, and his mission was to show what is the ideal king. And so in order to keep that principle and keep his character from being criticized, he sent her away. And then she left and she went to the hermitage of Valmiki Muni, and she was pregnant at the time, and then she gave birth there to two illustrious sons named Kush and Lav. That's a long story. But this principle of the Lord's presence on this earth 2 million years ago has a lot of meaning for us in this, in our life. It has a lot of meaning for us. That the Lord comes simply for our pleasure. The Lord comes simply for our benefit. And the Lord simply finds happiness when his devotee takes up an activity of devotion to him. The more we serve the Lord, the more we engage in chanting the Lord's name, doing worship of the Lord, reading about the Lord, hearing about the Lord, making our life one with God, the more we will find satisfaction, peace, and happiness in life. Happiness in life is not somehow or other satisfying the senses. The senses can never be satisfied. There's a beautiful verse. There's one verse that says that throughout my whole life I've been satisfying my senses. And now I'm at the end of my life, and guess what? They're still not satisfied. They'll never be satisfied. You can't satisfy your senses. You can give your senses what they need in order to function. But satisfaction of the senses, or satisfaction of the self, comes with our relationship with God. When the heart is satisfied with love, then everything else in our life becomes meaningful and becomes a source of happiness. When God is not there, then we say, Shrama eva hi kevalam. Everything else is a useless waste of time. Why? Because it simply leads us to illusion and suffering and ultimately rebirth in this material world. So these wonderful stories of the Lord's appearance on this earth throughout the history of mankind simply meant to inspire us to awaken our loving propensity towards the Lord. So if we can absorb our mind in hearing about Krishna and Ram, speaking about them, remembering them, and telling them to others, then our life becomes fulfilling and happy. Because happiness is not something that you find out there. You find it in here. When it's in here, then it's out there. If it's not in here, then out there has no value, no meaning. So when we say in there, God is in the heart. God is in the heart. So by taking the opportunity to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, remembering the Lord, serving the Lord, taking the Lord's prasadam, then our life becomes meaningful, fulfilling. This is the secret of happiness. This is what everyone is looking for. But they're looking for it in the wrong place. Okay. So the Lord appeared as Sri Ram and portrayed wonderful activities in removing from the world irreligion, establishing perfect rule as a king, and enlivening his devotees in loving service. And to hear these stories about the Ramayana are so wonderful. One of the main characters of the Ramayana was Hanumanji. Half man, half demigod, half monkey. He was the son of Vayu. And he simply always constantly. That makes sense, I don't know. Anyway, a lot of constancy. He's always hearing the glories of Ram. He can't stop hearing. He hears this pastime over and over again, and he simply becomes absorbed in love and service to the Lord. So, this is a wonderful pastime. So I'm sure many of you have come in contact with this wonder. It's not simply a story. It's not simply some history that is so far removed from today's relevancy in today's life. It has very, very meaningful principles and tenets by which we can live by in this world. Put the Lord first, and everything else will follow. That is guaranteed. When we put the Lord somewhere along the line of whatever else we do, then what happens is that Krishna or Ram puts us in the same position. When we get in trouble, then we say, "Oh God, help me." God says, "Ah, now you're calling, huh? You don't realize you're always in trouble. You think you're in trouble when things don't go right, but the fact that you're in the material world and you have to undergo birth, death, disease, old age, miseries of the body, mind, miseries of other powers, miseries of other living beings, constantly struggling to live. Don't you realize that that's misery? But the real misery is you forgot your love for me. That's the real suffering. And we're looking for that love somewhere else. So we shouldn't wait to be like, you know, when things go wrong, then we call out for God. There's a man, he's a merchant, right? And he has so many wares, and he's sitting on the side of the road. And then he's a grain merchant, he has all these grains, and a big wind comes and just blows his grains up in the sky. He says, "My dear Lord, please accept my offering." Too late. You can't offer it when it's gone. You have to offer it now when you still have it. So we don't want to wait. This process of devotion to the Lord is not for old people. It's for everyone. Okay, so thank you very much for coming to this wonderful festival. Simply by coming today, you'll receive the mercy of the Lord. But take that mercy and bring it into your heart and expand it in your life in a day-to-day way. And you'll find happiness in your life. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshmana.
So, thank you, Maharaj, for a really amazing lecture on Harshriya. Rosya Varama Chandraji Ki, Amasa Tanaman Ji Ki. So, the children are almost ready. In the meantime, we arrange it.